Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for starting your morning with us here on the Daily Tip. Jenks, as I was saying, it feels like an ode to the old guys tonight, where we have the Icy Hot Bowl going on in Thursday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco, both over the age of 40. And tonight in the ALCS, we have Max Scherzer, aged 41, who's going to be starting for the Blue Jays. And it's wild because if you think postseason matters, like, or postseason experience matters, he has seven LCS appearances. He's played in seven LCSs, like League Championship Series, with all these different teams. And so, you know, for somebody who's won two World Series, you're like, okay, the moment is not going to be too bright for him. But also, he hasn't pitched in a month. He had a disastrous September, going 0-3 with a 10-2-0 ERA. So it's one of those tough things to balance where you say, okay, the moment's never going to be too big for somebody who's as competitive as Max Scherzer, but maybe the stuff just isn't there anymore for Max Scherzer. Like, there is a reason that he wasn't even on the postseason roster for the ALDS. But now he's put in this position. You know, the Blue Jays could really use a big performance out of him. But it's just one of those, like, volatile factors that when you're handicapping a game, it just has so many layers to it.
Yeah, that's the tough thing. And looking at this yesterday, I like the over in this game. But I looked up and I was like, how old is Max now? 38? 39? I was like, oh, he's 41. I mean, credit to him. This guy's a Hall of Famer. And we love Max here in D.C. because he helped get us a World Series title. And he's just such a competitor, like the ultimate competitor. Mm-hmm. So looking at this game, and look, Max Scherzer has not been great this season, but he is rested. And also, one thing I love about these old guys is that they have a way of sort of pulling it together and giving it one final run in a big moment and maybe delivering. Do you know what I mean? So I don't think that's going to happen in this game, but also I'm not going to be surprised if Max Scherzer, with some rest in a big moment, like, delivers a stellar performance because he has that in him, and also he absolutely has that big moment postseason experience. I don't think I'm banking on that tonight, but he has it in him. There's no question about that.
Right. I think for me, like, his high-end stuff just has not been there. Like, the strikeout stuff. This is somebody who used to have, like, some of the most dominant stuff in Major League Baseball. So my hypothesis is that he can give up a couple runs, but, like, to his testament, that's not going to rattle him. Whereas you have some of these younger pitchers who are like, oh, my God, this guy is falling. I gave up a leadoff home run. I don't think that's going to wear on him too much. And I don't think they're expecting, you know, like, seven shutout innings from Max Scherzer. All they're asking for him to do is give them a chance. And the way that this Blue Jays offense is hitting the ball, maybe he just needs to be mediocre. And this one, if you continue to put up, you know, double-digit run totals for the Blue Jays. So it's interesting in so many regards. But I do think he's going to give up a couple runs. Like, I know you had mentioned to me maybe taking a total in this game. So let's get into it. Game four, the ALCS, Mariners with a 2-1 series lead. But the Blue Jays stormed back yesterday, scoring 13 runs. Will they do it again today? So if you look at the odds on this game, we have the Mariners short favorites at home, minus 125, total of 7.5 runs. So, Jenks, if you think Scherzer gives up a couple, and if you think this Blue Jays offense continues to rake, are you going with an over here, or are you going with a side?
Yeah, I think I'm going with an over here. And, you know, Max Scherzer, we talked about him and how he's been, I'm torn. You know how it is when you're rooting for someone, you're a fan of someone, but the numbers are the numbers, right? They tell you the story. And with Mad Max, as good as he's been, he hasn't been great with Toronto. So, yeah, he has that incredible start in him maybe, but and the rest helps. There's no question about that. But we really just haven't seen it. So I think there's a possibility the Mariners could get to him early on in this game. I mean, on the road this season, his ERA is approaching 6. And then you have Luis Castillo, who has been very good when pitching at home this season. But here's the thing. He has faced the Jays twice this season, and they have gotten to him both times. So with you looking at how the Blue Jays performed last night, they know Castillo. Those bats got heated up in Game 3. Then I feel like we're looking at an over here.
Yeah, I think so as well. And especially with the total sitting at 7.5, you don't even need guys to implode. You just need both starters to give up a couple runs and the bullpen to give up a couple runs as well. Like, what kills the over is when pitchers are absolutely dominant. And, like, one side of the coin does not score any runs, which I don't think is going to be the case. Like, you mentioned those starts against Toronto for Luis Castillo. I know it was earlier on in the season, but even the start where he only gave up 3 earned runs against Toronto over 5 innings, you're like, hey, that's not that bad. He scattered 10 hits. So, like, he got out of a lot of trouble, and it's not like they were, you know, barely hitting the ball. And then the other one, he gave up 5 earned runs on 7 hits. So you're right. This lineup certainly has hit him before. I know that was, like, months ago. It was back in April and May. But still, the way that this Blue Jays offense is playing with a ton of confidence, even on the road, like, it's been such an anomaly that, you know, some of these teams have played better on the road than they have at home. So I think that the over is certainly in play here. But let's talk about a side. And I feel very torn on this one because my confidence is shaken after taking the Mariners last night and looking absolutely ridiculous since the Blue Jays put up a 13 spot. Do you have a leaning on a side here?
I would lean Mariners here. I know that Luis Castillo has been hit up this season, but then again, so has Max Scherzer, and maybe that evens it out. But ultimately, I still think the Mariners are the team to beat here. And if you look at history, if you have a 2-1 series lead, you go on to win the series 74% of the time. And also, I look at it this way. If you believe in a particular team, let's remember, this is the league championship series. Like, the other team that you're facing is also very good and got here for a reason. I thought Seattle might sweep based on the pitching matchup we had last night. It didn't work out. But also, these series are going to be competitive, so I would, at least for me, I would caution against, unless everything has changed for you in a big way, I would caution against just pushing away Seattle all of a sudden because they lost a game to a very good team that can get hot, and they got hot last night.
Yeah, the Mariners can get hot too. Like, we've seen that. So are you going to play the 7.5 in the full game, or are you going to play a first 5? I was searching for an over 7 for the team. I could only find it at -163. Don't love that. So, Jenks, how do you actually play this one?
I'm going to play first 5 over. I'm going to go first 5 over 3.5. And I found it at, what did I get here? First 5, 3.5. Over is -148. So I'm going to play that. I think both of these pitchers are going to struggle a little bit. And I like the full game as well. I think you can play over 7.5 and be fine. I know we like playing numbers down to 7 and hitting the over, but 7.5 is still low. I think we're going to see a lot of runs in this game.
Yeah. I think so as well. And like, what we've seen from both these teams is they will have like one big inning where they really pile it on. Mm-hmm. Like last night, they had several big innings. But it feels like one of those teams where, especially when you have as many home run hitters as both these teams do, and like half the guys who hit home runs last night weren't even home run hitters for the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
But both these teams have a significant amount of power. Even when you play in a pitcher-friendly park, like, this was wild to me last night. Like, I thought the under would maybe be a play because it's colder weather. The Mariners Park is one of the most pitcher-friendly parks in all of baseball. But, like, some of these home runs were not even cheapies. Like, 414, 431, 406. So, like, these guys are cranking it when we're talking about baseball. Please don't use that.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That out of context. So I feel like the over is probably my favorite play in this game. Anything else about the ALCS before we move on to the NLCS?
Anything else? No. I think we're good. I think we're good with the ALCS.
We good. Outside
of, we good. We good. No, I'm good. Let's talk NLCS.
Yeah, after I said cranky, it just went downhill from there. All right, so let's get to the NLCS. Game three between the Dodgers and the Brewers. The Dodgers have a 2-0 series lead, and boy, do they look good. Coming into this game, they have had to use very little of their bullpen, with Yamamoto going complete game. The game before, Blake Snell went 8 innings. So today, there's no rest for the Brewers lineup in that they now have to face Tyler Glasnow, who also has excellent strikeout stuff. The Brewers have not named a starter. It looks like they're going with a bullpen game. So logically speaking, Jinx,
yeah,
it looks like all the factors go in the favor of the Dodgers. But like Pat Murphy has said this, the manager of the Brewers, we've been counted out so many times before, and we've responded. So do the Brewers respond here?
Do the Brewers respond? No, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to. No, they're not going to. I want the Brewers to respond. I think it would be a great story, but they just don't have the arms. It would be so nice if Brandon Woodruff were back for this team, but
yeah,
look, he's not, so we can't sit here and say, oh, well, if this guy played, he's not playing. So you got Freddy Peralta. That was just such a, I don't want to say a death knell for this team, but when Peralta got touched up early on, then you're like, ah, oh, man, if you can't win with Peralta on the mound, now, today they're going with whom? Like, it's a bullpen game. Maybe Jose Quintana goes at some point, I think is what I've read. And that is your matchup against Tyler Glasnow when you're down 0-2 and going back to L.A. It just doesn't set up well for the Brewers. It doesn't feel that way.
All right, so now the question is, how do we actually play this? So it feels like the Dodgers are the play, but on the money line, you are not getting a discount. The Dodgers home favorites at -190. So I was trying to think of ways to maybe, you know, get creative with this. So usually one of the things that I do for the Dodgers is that you can combine their team total and their money line price, and usually you can get yourself like a nice price. Just out of the range. So I did team total over 2.5 and the money line, that's -160. So we will probably have to go at 3.5. Because here's the thing. If the Dodgers win the game, they're probably going to score, you know, 4 runs. So let's see what this price is. Okay, over 3.5 runs and the Dodgers on the money line is -125. Thoughts?
Wow, do that. Do that. That's good. I found I'm just trying to cheat the system here. Dodgers on
the
run
minus
line is
one.
Yeah, it's -150.
I knew it.
You knew it. I love these -1 plays. But I think Dodgers on the run line is a smart move. That's at plus money. It's a +115. But over 3.5 and Dodgers on the money line, what'd you say, -120? That's it?
-125. Because like it correlates, right?
Yes,
like,
exactly.
You'd think that if they score 4 runs, they're probably going to win a game. Unless this game is like a low scoring affair. Like if they win 3-1, obviously you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. But it's just these Dodgers bats have been so good. And it just doesn't feel like a great pitching matchup when the Brewers are already in a bullpen game situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't even seen much from Ohtani. So it's like once the first of the lineup starts to get going, because he's their leadoff guy. Like there is a reason where you normally put, you know, a guy that is going to get on base in the leadoff hole, because it just, you know, jumpstarts your whole offense. So if Ohtani can start getting on base, this is going to be a huge boon to a Dodgers lineup that's just as good at the top as it is at the bottom. Like with guys like Kike Hernandez, you know, Max Muncy is really good, even though I think he's towards the top half of the lineup. But like my point being is that like this offense has room to get better.
Oh, yes, it does. That's the scary thing. And just kind of like Vladdy got going last night after going 0-7 in the first two games of this series. I know Shohei's slump has lasted a little bit longer here. But, man, when you have all of that talent that Shohei has, then it's just a matter of time. Especially Shohei against a Brewers bullpen, which is good, but certainly not like going against one of their starters here. So that's the real dangerous thing if you're Milwaukee. You're like, oh, God, what if this guy hits him?
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like if you're looking at props, like Teoscar Hernandez has been on an absolute tear. He had two hits last game with five total bases. And we know he certainly has a lot of power. He was in the home run derby, and he's hit several home runs already in the last few games. Two home runs over the last several series this postseason. So it just feels like the Dodgers lineup is just too much. So let me ask you this. Obviously, the Brewers need to either win tonight or tomorrow, but do you think that they win a game in this series?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think if they win a game, it'll be in game four. I don't think this sets up well for them going out west against Glasnow when you're going with a bullpen game. But I do think that, look, you got Shohei going for the Dodgers in game four. And nothing against Shohei. He's a very good pitcher. But also because he's coming back from Tommy John surgery. Like, and he was very good last time out against the Phillies. Had a quality start. I think three runs over six innings. But he hasn't been necessarily dominant because he hasn't had a lot of innings this year. So I think there's a possibility that, you know, maybe he doesn't go long in this game. The Dodgers do have some weakness in the bullpen, and maybe that's how Milwaukee pulls out a win.
Right. And again, the Brewers have been doubted for most of the season, and here they stand as one of the top four teams in Major League Baseball. All right, coming up next, it's time to see who can survive another week in the NFL. Our survivor plays come your way next on the Daily Tip.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.